1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I will start at verse 19. Paul speaking here, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. For unto the Jews became I as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, not being without law to God, but under the law unto Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery, that is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Tonight I want to talk about run that ye may obtain. Run that ye may obtain. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray that your spirit, as always, as we always pray, Father, would take control and speak. I pray that we'd learn about running to obtain tonight. Thank you for this scripture. These 9 or 10 verses that we'll mostly focus on, Lord, are powerful verses, fairly well-known verses, and important verses, Lord. And I pray that we would see what you have for us tonight. I pray our minds would not be distracted by all the things that are happening with us this week and all the things we have facing us and everything else, but we would be still and know you're a God and have our minds stayed on thee. I pray you'd open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law this evening, Lord, and speak to us. And thank you that we get to be together tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, Paul says, "I serve everybody." I serve everybody. And in verse 19, he says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." We call this servant leadership. Everything Paul was doing was to help people, to serve people. Even when he was leading, even when he's writing this letter to the Corinthians, he was saying, "I'm doing this to serve people. I've made myself the servant to everybody." When you become a real servant, a Bible servant, you get so unselfish and your mind is so off of yourself, and it's not about you anymore, it's about other people, that it's impossible to offend you, and your mind is completely focused on helping other people. If they need to walk on you, then you just hope you can be a good doormat. If you need to serve them, you're glad to do it. If you suffering makes them see the right way to suffer, you're there to serve all men. The way you act, the way you talk, what you do, everything. Paul said, "Hey, everything happens in my life. If you can see it and be an example of, and see an example of the way to suffer, and if my death be life in you," as he says in Corinthians, he says that's fine with me because I'm here to serve everybody. I'm here to serve the Jew, the Greek, the Gentile, everybody. I have made myself the servant to everybody. Everybody in our society and everybody in natural human relationships by nature, we kind of want people to serve us. We kind of want everybody to do things for us. Now, there are some of you who've learned to be real servants and you like serving, but kind of by nature, we're self-centered. And why don't they do this for me? And why don't they understand me and my needs? And that's okay when you're a child. The Bible says when you're a child, you do understand childish things. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, became an adult. An adult is being a servant to all, and he was a servant to everybody. Secondly, he became what they need to win them to the Lord. Verse 20, "And to the Jews that became I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews." He said, when I was around Jewish people, I kept the Jewish law, the Jewish tradition, what wouldn't offend the Jewish people. I talked like them, I thought like them, I wrote like them, I preached the gospel in a Jewish way, emphasizing the messianic prophecies. And I went and said, "Hey, I am a Jew also." And he went as a Jew, and he became like a Jew. The Jewish people had a certain a mindset, and he came to them to serve them and to help them. When he says, when I wasn't around the Jews, when I was around the Gentile, I wasn't talking about the law and how we don't eat this and the Old Testament prophecies maybe as much, but I went to them as their culture, but I went and preached Christ crucified. However, I became relative to them where they would understand and I could relate to them and they would understand what I was talking about. I dressed in a way that wouldn't offend them. I talked in a way that wouldn't offend them. I did things in a certain way, and I think that's always wise in a culture. He says, he says, unto the Jews became I as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. Being not without law unto God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. He says, I've done it culturally, I've done it every way, I became that. And and he became whatever people needed them to be. Whenever I preach in third world countries, it's generally very hot, and generally you never wear a suit and a tie, except for Haiti. When I go to Haiti, they wear suits and ties and dress up, and especially the pastor is expected to do that. I did not expect that. This time when I'm going to Haiti, it's right now, today it was 93 degrees and 70% humidity. That was today. Okay, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to wear a tie and a suit. I'm going to sweat to death. By the way, I went there in July. It was much hotter than 93 and 70% humidity. It was much in Ghanaese. But you know what? It's also a lot colder here right now. And it's going to be hard to do. And it's going to be hot, sweaty rooms with a lot of people. But you know what? If that's what I need to do to be part of their culture and that's what they expect of the preacher, that's what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter if I'm not comfortable in hot and humid areas. I'm not. I don't like humidity. I don't like ties. I don't like suits, but I'll do it because that's what they expect. When I went to Chicago and went in the first generation area, an area that was Mexico North, and everybody's first generation Mexican, everybody spoke fluent Spanish, and all the adults were there from Mexico, and they wanted me to eat their food, and I found out that I was offending them when I wasn't eating their food. I didn't like Spanish food at the time, especially real Spanish food, not taco time. Real Spanish food, we're full of hot things that drive you crazy. Yes, they clear your sinuses, but they roast your throat and stomach. And you know what? I found it offended them, and I said, sure, I'll take some. And I didn't like it, and I ate it. Because you offend Mexicans when you don't eat their food. And they do not know what not hot food is. They don't think it's hot. I think it's hot. And so I ate it. You know why? Because to the Mexican, I became a Mexican. I tried to learn their language. I wasn't very good at it. And I learned what they laughed at. And I learned what was important to them. And I talked to them and became one of them and tried to relate to them. I become high and mighty because I didn't come from a rough inner city neighborhood. I just tried to talk like as one of them, be like one of them, be a friend of one of them. He says, not like those that are without law. That's what we'll do. We're going to become a rock band to a rock band culture. Now you're talking to morality. I'm going to become the drunk to the drunk. I'm going to go hang out in the bar with them. No, that's it. Not without law. You don't violate God's law. But you know what? In certain parts of the nation, you don't do anything with your left hand. It's used for other things. And in certain cultures, you never shake a woman's hand. You don't touch the women. And you know what? If I go there, I'm going to do that. That's not a biblical violation. I'm going to find whatever it takes to reach those people inside the law of God because I want to reach those people. In Seattle, I'm going to try to relate to Seattle people. I'm going to immerse myself in the culture. Seattle people are different than people in Texas. Seattle people are different than people in Alabama. I'm going to go and become like them. I'm going to understand what they think. I'm going to understand when I invite somebody to church, they do not know what church is like, and they got this crazy idea that the media gave them in mind, and they're afraid of church. It's not part of the culture, and I'm going to understand that. And Paul says, I did this. And he says, I'm not going to become something that's going to intimidate somebody. I'm not going to seem like I'm better than somebody. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I'm not going to say I'm better than somebody. I'm not going to try to act like I don't understand them. I try to, if somebody says, I have an addiction, I don't try to say, I just don't understand you people. No, I understand sin. And we should be people to try to relate to everybody. Why? that by all means I might save some. Verse 22, the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am become all things to all men that by all means I might save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. Paul is very focused here and he says, I am trying to win the world to Christ. He had such a burden for souls. He was so urgent about winning the souls that he based his life around serving everybody and becoming whatever they needed him to be so he could win them to Christ because he cared about souls. He did it for the gospel's sake. And there's bigger things than you and I and what we're comfortable and what we like to eat and who we like to hang around and what we like to spend our time on. There is greater and higher noble and more noble things than your preferences in life. There is a lost and dying world. And he says, I do this for the gospel's sake. Verse 17, for these things I do willingly, I have a reward, but against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. He says, verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. He says, yeah, I'm a soul winner, but it's not anything I can say. Aren't I incredible? He says, because woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He says, I can't believe that anybody would ever not be a soul winner. Anybody would ever not be a witness. He says, there's no glory in me saying I'm a soul winner. He says, woe unto me. Woe if I don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He lived his life not going soul winning, not going witnessing, but as a soul winner. It was who he was. It was what he's built to do. And he says, I live my life serving everybody and living my life for the purpose that I might save some. That's my life. Whatever I have to change, whatever I have to adapt, however I have to live, whatever I'm not comfortable with, it does not matter because I've got to save some. I've eaten some nasty things in my days, but I got to save somebody. I've got to win them to Christ. I've been around people who didn't smell real good. I mean, I don't got a sensitive nose. I'm not real picky. I was in the projects one day. I'm knocking on doors. And man, this lady opened the doors, projects in Chicago. She opened the door and a wave of stink hit me. And I'm telling you, I do not got a sensitive sniffer. And it stunk so bad, it was probably the worst thing I ever smelled in my life. I would rather have witnessed to a mad skunk. It was bad. And it was so bad. And it, I mean, literally, it was like, I can't breathe. Smell. I don't. When the door opened, it just, and I took a step back because I thought I was going to throw up. And then I said, hi, I'm from the church. I'm just out talking to people. Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And I stood there and breathed that and witnessed to her at her door to enter to Christ. And I believe she got saved, if I remember correctly. And guess what I smell like the rest of the day? Guess what everybody else did when they opened their door? But you know what? It's not what I like. It's not what my preferences are. It's not what I'm comfortable with. If somebody's going to burn for billions of years if I can't reach them, what are my little happiness, my little schedules, my little beauty rest, my little embarrassment, my little getting embarrassed for handing out a track? Hey, it doesn't matter. There is something bigger than that. And he says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I am trying to win the world to Christ. Amen. And he says, I've got to do these things. He says, never feel like you're better than anybody. Never put yourself above the homeless guy. And the person who doesn't know how to act. And may nobody ever come into this church and not feel like we think we're better than them. But by the grace of God, we'd all be lost and on our way to hell. It's by God's grace you weren't born, or you didn't get your brain messed up, or you didn't overdose, you didn't grow up in that home. It's by the grace of God. So become whatever people need to reach them, to be their friend, to love them, and let them know, hey, I'm with you. It matters, and I care about you. Next thing we see, first, he served everybody. Secondly, he became what he needed to be to win them to the Lord. And thirdly, he ran to obtain, which is our title of our message, run that ye may obtain. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. Everybody runs in the race. Everybody's running in the race together. But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Do you see the context of this verse is how he runs his life? I am focusing. I've got to win somebody to Christ. I am not running, playing around. I'm trying to do something here. I'm focused. And run, do you obtain something? Do not just run in the race to say, I ran. I am an also ran. He says, run to obtain something, to win the prize. As he said in Philippians 4, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Run that you may obtain. You may get what you seek for. And then he goes on to talk about when people are trying to run in the race. Every man, verse 25, that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That means he controls his life in every area. If you don't follow sports very closely, you do not understand how athletes live, especially in a very competitive sport. These guys who run marathons, you understand they don't do anything else in life. They are a marathon runner. The people who do Tour de France, it's an obsession and literally affects the way they sleep. It's 24/7, everything. People who are boxers, they're training. They don't just get in shape 2 weeks before a fight. And football players, they have incredible regimens to do that. And you think those big fat guys who have the big bellies in line, you understand, actually they are elite athletes. They need that weight. And they're very focused on how they are built and how they live. And some of those guys, their regiment and their diets and everything else they do, because they're focused on winning them. Many athletes move to cities like Denver because the elevation is so high, and when they work out, there's less air, and they get in better cardiovascular shape, and they'll move from Kenya to Denver to work out there. And athletes, they are focused, and they run, and they do everything they do to win these races, and they do everything, and everything they eat, and everything they do, and wrestlers do this, and many other athletes do these things, and they're very focused. They work so hard. They change their diet. They get rid of their social life. They start when they're young. These gymnasts that go in the Olympics, they don't do anything else in life. Most of them are tutored because they don't have time to go to school. And everything they do and every bit of eating they do, and it doesn't matter if it's a swimmer, it doesn't matter. These athletes, except for really non-athletic sports like curling and darts, I mean anything real, they are working very hard and very focused and living their life pointed towards one, sometimes 30 seconds. And then it's done. But in that 30 seconds, they're trying to win a gold medal. They're trying to win this certain thing. They seek sponsorship so they don't have to work, so they can do it full time, so they can get the best of everything. For nothing but a ring. Or amount of money, or to be called the champion. And they live their entire life obsessed with these things. When my friend, Brother Roman White, he was a wrestler, and he came in second state, and he was living it, the wrestling life, and the food he had to eat, and he was getting ready for the final match, a state wrestling match, and he was sitting there waiting for the match, and his nose just started bleeding everywhere because he had nothing. Because he had his diet was so crazy and everything he had to do was so crazy and his body was all messed up and just standing there, his nose just started bleeding everywhere before the match even started. And he said, I looked down and I saw the blood just start dripping on the mat and I thought of the blood of Christ and thought, you know how obsessive I've lived to win this state championship and this really doesn't matter a bit. And he thought of the blood of Christ. If these athletes work so hard to wear a ring or to wear a crown, as it says here, and in the ancient Olympics, they would maybe put a leaf crown on their head and said, you're the champion, be placed on there by a Caesar or an emperor, and put on their head and said, you're the champion, you ran the race, but this person's been living for 5 years his whole life to win that race. How much more should we live with a passion to do something bigger, like living for God and glorifying God, or in Paul's case, winning a soul? How much obsession and passion and intensity do you have? Do you run to obtain? Amen. Yet many Christians run the Christian life not to obtain, but to run. How many Christians are in that cross-country race and they're just running along? Are you going to win? I don't know. I'm just running. I always go to church. I always do these things. And even the spiritual things like praying and reading your Bible and all those other things, you can find out you're really just doing it because it's what you're supposed to do. And you're not trying to do anything. You're not doing it for a purpose of winning the world to Christ, of seeing your family saved, of seeing the power of God come upon this ministry, of seeing yourself become a victorious Christian. And you blase just kind of, I'm running. I'm in the race. That's all that matters. He says, don't run like that. Run to obtain. What are you trying to do? You've got to do something big. You got to say, I've got to get something done. You must have a purpose and a focus that Jesus, the Son of Man, is coming to seek and to save that which is lost. I do all these things for the gospel's sake, says Paul. I'm trying to do something. I'm not just living the Christian life because I live the Christian life. I'm doing it for a purpose. I want to face Jesus someday. And I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Awesome. You're seeking for a certain crown. But whatever you do, don't just say, I'm running. Isn't that good enough? He says, a lot of people run. In a race, all run, one gets crowned. So run that you may obtain. Churches have churches. They don't even know why they're having church. They just have church. But a church's focus, as we're doing it for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to win the world to Christ, to make a difference, to raise godly families, to change the world, to make sure that our kids grow up in godly homes, to get ourselves right, to show Jesus I love him after he died for me on the cross. But are you running a race to obtain? And this I do for the gospel's sake, verse 23, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so command of God, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in everything. You're under control. You're deciding what you do on purpose, how you sleep, what you watch, what you listen to, how you talk to people, how you live, because your life is so important and focused. Now they, and by the way, way too many Christians live this unfocused life of whenever I wake up, I get up, whenever I eat, and if I feel like eating, I feel like getting, when I read a Bible, if I get time, you're never going to make a great Christian. When you're going to read your Bible, you better focus on it. When you're going to pray, and why are you going to pray? When are you going to fast? And when are you going to go witnessing? And how are you disciplining your life? If you just go, I'm not temperate and I'm blah, I want to be a good Christian. I'm just running. I don't know where I'm running. I'm just kind of running. I don't know how I'm running. I'm just kind of running. You're not going to win a race. You're not going to get a prize. You cannot live a blasé, unfocused Christian life and run a race. If a guy just says, you know, I'm just running this marathon. I don't really know where it goes. I don't know how to finish it. I'm just going to kind of run and see what happens. That's not the way to do it. He says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to attain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He said, I'm not swinging where there ain't some face there. I am not running just to run. I am not fighting and just shadow boxing. I am fighting because I know what I'm fighting. I'm not one beating the air. I run to gain an incorruptible crown. There's five crowns mentioned in the Bible, and you can earn those crowns. And in Revelation 5, you can cast them at Jesus' feet and say, I earned a crown for you. Jesus, I love you. But you don't earn those things without being temperate to win the prize and running to obtain. Yeah, so many people just say, well, I'd kind of like to be spiritual. Just jogging in a cross-country race is not going to make you win. He disciplined his life, verse 27, to win. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, I bring up body into subjection like an athlete does, and I say, body, you're going to do this because I've got to win. And he says, an athlete does all that focus and all that passion to run in a race that does not matter, with a crown that will not stay and a ring that will not go with them into eternity. How much more should I run and say, I'm going to bring my body into subjection so I can submit it to God and so I can give my body a living sacrifice and run and win the race for God and obtain something in heaven that's tangible forever? We need to run our race with passion, with focus, with a purpose. Why are you still breathing? It is not because God has too much oxygen and needs you to burn some. We need to run with our race with patience. I read the story of a Viking chieftain, and two of them were going, it was to Scotland from what I've read, and they're racing to Scotland. And they said the first one, they looked at the land and they thought it was beautiful land, and they both won. And they said, instead of having our clans fight, the first one who gets there and touches the ground gets it, and the other one will go exploring for other land. But we want that land right there in the northern part on the coast there, and we're going to take our boats and we're racing. And these two chieftains race there and race there and rowing with those great boats that they had, the Vikings, and they rowed and rowed, and they both wanted that land there. Push harder. row harder. And they kept rowing and rowing and rowing. And the race was neck and neck. Finally, one of them began to pull ahead. Not by much, but it was obvious the land was coming up and the other one is getting ahead. And the one said, I want that land. I want to take my whole clan there. I want to keep it. My wives, my kids, they're all sitting back there believing I'm going to get that land. They're rooting for me. I cannot lose this land. I'm going to get it. And he took out his sword and lopped off his left hand and threw it onto the shore before the other boat got there. No. And he won the land. He said, I'm going to get that land. Now, if a person for a piece of land would live that intensity and passion so he could win, don't you think you need to live with a passion to beat the devil? You don't have to cut your hand off, but you can discipline your life for prayer, for fasting. You can begin to be a witness and say, nothing's going to stop me. You can say, I'm going to live my life focused now. You can say, I'm going to run to obtain. I'm going to run to obtain. I'm going to run to obtain. So run that ye may obtain. They which run in the race run all, but one receiveth a prize. And every one of you has the opportunity to be a winner and obtain great prizes in heaven if you'll run with discipline and focus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we'd run to obtain. I pray that, Lord, with the same intensity and passion that man would throw his hand onto the shore. I pray with the same passion Paul did to win souls, we would run to obtain an incorruptible crown and treasures in heaven and a well done, a good and faithful servant and a godly family and the power of God and revival in our nation and a church that beats back the gates of hell and our own victory in our lives and our neighbors and cities being saved. Lord, may we run to obtain. I pray, Lord, we would run that we may obtain. In Jesus' name, our heads about our eyes.